Jesus. So let's put our hands together as we welcome the servant of God, the apostle of the hour, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the thing about... Good morning, by the way. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you. An honor again to be here. I just sat back there listening to Bishop speak. There is a way that people speak when they know about faith. But there is a way people speak when they are walking in faith. You see... Truly, it's a character that has come from the patriarchs. And every time I have listened to someone who truly walks in faith, there is an aura beyond what they are saying. You know they believe what they are saying. Hallelujah. And I pray that that word was indeed a blessing. I don't know if it blessed you, but it marvelously blessed me. For me, I received my own part of the meeting before now coming to preach. Thank you, sir. Let's honor Bishop again and his precious wife. Hallelujah. Father, help us this morning. We have come to draw. We have come to obtain wisdom. In the name of Jesus, grant us understanding. The Bible says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty is able to make men of understanding. We submit to your wisdom this morning. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Yesterday we began to examine the subject of enlargement according to the theme of the conference. And I established the fact from scripture that it is God's will and it is our heritage in and through redemption to experience increases of all sorts, first in our spiritual lives, and then that it extends to every aspect and every faculty of our lives. We establish through scripture that there are various promises in the Bible that attest to the fact that God is interested in lifting us, interested in expanding us. And then I did tell us that there is a price. I think that was the punchline for yesterday. That merely just hoping or being aware that enlargement and increase is God's design for us will not automatically bring us into it. You see, the kingdom works with a twofold operation. Please look up. You have to understand this. If you understand this, you'll be able to maximize the blessings of scripture. All communications of the spirit, as far as their delivery to our lives, they operate in twofold. Number one, there is the prophetic perception. Please do not forget this. That your spiritual orientation has a lot to do with your excelling and your advancement and your enlargement. Son of man, what seest thou? Jeremiah 1:11. I see the rod of an almond tree. And he said, you have seen well, and I will hasten my word. That word that you see, the Amplified Bible says, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Hallelujah. The second prize this morning, I just thought to continue in that flow. The second prize for enlargement, increase, and expansion in the life of a believer, and this extends to a territory, is the prize of spiritual warfare. There is a warfare dimension to expansion. There is a warfare dimension to advancement. Scattered from Genesis to Revelation, you would find out that God's people desire to move, to advance, even territorially. And none of it was without any resistance, even underground. There are controlling powers in every territory with no exception. The Bible is not silent as to the fact that we are not alone in this side of God's kingdom. The Bible is very vocal as to the fact that there are strangers and there are demonic forces that have an assignment to thwart and to sabotage the purposes of God in our lives. Scripture tells us very clearly that the whole world lies in wickedness. Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus, and when he began to talk to them about their positional advantage and their oneness in Christ, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, then he also did not leave them in the dark. 16 or 26, he was talking about the church, the first mention of the word church. Jesus started the discourse this way. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some said, "You are Elias." Some said, "You are one of those prophets." And he said, "Well, you have walked with me. What is your verdict about me? What do you say that I am?" And Peter, speaking by the Spirit, he said, "I know who thou art. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he said, "Blessed be thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of our Father in heaven." He says, "And now you are Peter, and upon this rock," he said, "I will build my church." And he was very quick to tell you there is only one resistance to the church. It's called the gate of hell. That I will structure the church in a way that it will be able to triumph over the principal opposition called the gate of hell. Every enviable destiny in Christ has an onslaught of darkness prepared to wage war. When Satan left Jesus Christ, the Bible declares, after his temptation, remember, he came out of the river being baptized of John, and the Bible says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Having fasted for 40 days and nights, Satan came to him. And when he triumphed over Satan, the Bible says Satan left him for a season. Not forever. For a season. The next time Satan would come to him, he came through the compassion of Peter to beckon on him to not go to the cross. And Jesus, looking at Peter, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he said, "Peter, Satan had desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." He says, "And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." Use this formula. Every time you see them dwindling, know that behind their vacillations there is a devil. Rebuke that devil. The next time he would come, the final time, he came through Judas. Judas was not a bad man. He was just a greedy man who wanted to make money out of the truth. You see, when you are close to the truth, be careful. There are many things that can happen. You can be transformed by the truth, or you can make money out of the truth. There were many people who were close to the truth. Some doubted the truth, Thomas. Some believed the truth, Peter. Some denied the truth, Peter also. Some were transformed by the truth, John. Other people made business out of the truth, Judas. Just because the truth is near you, you have an option to choose what to do around the truth. I choose to be transformed by the truth. Are we blessed? The assumption that demonic powers are not there is not a wise assumption. The assumption that demonical forces just follow a select group of people is a deception itself. Let me assure you by the authority of Scripture that there are real demons, there are real spirits, and they are assigned across territories. Their assignment to thwart everything that represents the purposes of God. You don't have to hurt anybody. You don't have to look for anybody's trouble. Just find yourself on this side of God's kingdom and make a commitment to live your life serving the purposes of God, and you've drawn that battle line. They will attack families. They will attack individuals. They will attack churches. They will attack men of God. They will attack priesthood. They will attack territories. Are we together now? This is not to scare you, but is an information that helps you to appreciate the victory that has been given to us in Christ. Follow me now. That scripture, Luke chapter We have a very brief session this morning. Let's read from verse 22. Luke 8 and verse 22. Please follow this story carefully. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. What was the mission? And he said to them, let us go over to the other side. So it was a mission of enlargement and advancement. We have ministered to these people here, but we need to move to higher realms of impact as far as the assignment is concerned. The mission was enlargement. The mission was increase. And the Bible says they launched forth. Next verse. Let me stop here and encourage you. There are times that demonic attacks come to prove you are making progress. When you find out that it looks like the devil left some people quietly, it's not proof that they are strong. It's proof that they are doing nothing. The attack started because movement started. Are we together now? There are levels of attack that will never come to your life if you don't pray. You are not making any impact in the realm of the spirit. You are not advancing. Souls are not being saved through you. There is no significant impact you are making in the kingdom of darkness. It was when they launched forth. The Bible says as they sailed, watch this, Jesus fell asleep and there came down a storm of wind on the lake and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased and there was calm. Keep this scripture there. Notice what was happening here. Jesus was tired, exhausted, like every man of God would, after ministering around, and he was trying to catch some rest while they sailed. And the Bible says there arose a storm of wind. Look up, please. Every storm is made up of two elements. Number one, the wind, the invisible part of the storm. Number two, the water, the visible part. You just see the water boisterous, but behind that water, there is wind that empowers it. Every trouble has two dimensions. There is the one you are seeing. The lack of finance is not just lack of finance. The lack or the poor membership is not just poor membership. The trouble with government, the trouble with territory, the prevalence of sickness, that's just the water. But there is a wind. Are we together now? The Bible defines what a true storm is. The union between a wind and water is what produces storms. That means if you focus on the water alone, the part you are seeing, you are just focusing on the school fees and your health. You are focusing, why do I love members? They come and receive and go. Why is it that a territory will not be transformed? Why is there a prevalence of moral decadence within a territory? You are looking at the water alone. There is the wind, the invisible part of that storm. There are spirits that empower situations. Just when it's time for you to arise, everybody, your family members, trouble is coming, even from people who love you. You are just looking at water. There is wind. You see, if you sustain this level of spiritual intelligence, you will not focus on the real, the physical issues. You will go through priesthood to the realm of the spirit. That's the real control room for solving problems. Someone promises that by God's grace, I will give you land, I will support you. And all of a sudden, he begins to change his attitude towards you. Every storm, don't forget this teaching this morning, is made up of wind and water. You begin a political journey with a sincere intention to bless the people around you, and seeing that your commitment unto God is unbendable, a storm arises, a combination of wind and water. The carnal man will focus on just the water, and you will see that you are not able to interpret what is happening in your life. Just when they announce that some money is about to come, and you made up your mind that part of this money I will send it for the gospel, everybody starts getting sick in your house. Everything starts going wrong. You get up with your car in the morning, two tires just burst out of nowhere. Be sensitive and be intelligent. It's not about car. is not about children. The quarrel with your wife is a confusion from the realm of the spirit. Two of you are very sincere and innocent. The devil has seen something bigger than both of you. If you just dwell in the realm of the flesh, then you will not make advancement. Is God helping someone? There are young people here, the day you made up your mind that I will go to school and I will serve the Lord, all of a sudden it looks like admission is getting difficult. Something that should be easy now becomes difficult. And they call you black sheep. You are not a black sheep. They only spotted you. Why is the unusual attack on you? It's because of something Satan has seen. Be careful when Satan sees a vision you yourself have not seen. He's able to see something you have not seen. Gideon, why are you hiding? Whereas the realm of the spirit has seen you as a mighty man of value. Are you following this story? It was a sincere desire to move forward. There are many of you right now, why will you be needing 60 million, 100 million, except that God told you it's time to build your own assembly. And you got up and took a step of faith, just like our bishop has said. And at his time, it was 60,000 for you. Was it not because you wanted your children to go forward now that high blood pressure wants to bring you down because of school fees? Advancement has a cost. Sometimes you are in the middle of nowhere. But let me encourage you. The same effort it takes to go back is the same effort it takes to continue. There are times you are in the middle of the journey. Whether you go back or move forward, you are wasting about the same time. You have nothing to lose. It's better to move forward. And I'm speaking to someone here, you have come too far with God in ministry and in life. Regardless the storms that you see around you, they are not always proof that you have done something wrong. They may be proof that you are doing something right. Are we together? A storm is made up of wind. God is giving us spiritual intelligence. Don't forget what we are discussing. We are discussing the second prize. Once you want to have dominion over territories and enlargement, you will have to understand the warfare dimension of dominion. And I'm helping you to define that the storms that arise in our lives many times prove that we are making progress. And that the gates of hell, for as long as your prayer life is down, your word life is down, it will look like the family has no attacks. But let's find two or three people, husband and wife, every night opening fire in prayer. Do that for 1 week and all of a sudden you will begin to sense things around you and you are wondering, what happened to me? The realm of the spirit is receiving agitations. There are times you come out of the place of prayer and everybody is annoying you, including those who love you. Trouble is coming out of nowhere. It is not the people. The brothers of Joseph were sincere people. They were under the influence of a spirit that was fighting the salvation of Israel, not Joseph. Most times the challenges are bigger than you. It's because of where you are going and the mandate and the mantle upon your life. Can I tell you, for every Elijah, there is a Jezebel waiting for you. Mantles come with their challenges. Don't just desire mantles. Understand the challenges that come with mantles. Most times we like to receive mantles and anointings, but we do not know that there is a corresponding challenge. If you are Daniel and you want his grace, make sure you know what to do with the spirits of the Medes and the Persians. If you are Jesus, make sure you know what to do with the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Are we blessed? The reason why many believers and many people in destiny fail is because they do not sustain the spiritual intelligence to know how to manage the challenges that follow anointings. There are challenges you have no business having in your life except for the grace you carry. Joseph had no business being in prison except that there was the dream of being a savior. Jesus had no business hanging on the cross except that he needed to be the savior of the world. I'm bringing you a word of hope, because sometimes when you look at your life and you do not interpret things from a spiritual standpoint, You may think, why are things always like this? It seems to work for others except I come. Why is God passing me through this? A storm of wind. When Bishop was talking, I was so overwhelmed and broken. I remember the first time we're going to have a crusade as a ministry. We could only hire one can. We only had money enough to go. Where the money to pay for where we'll stay was not there. The car stopped on the way. Crusade will start 5 o'clock. At about 2-3, we're still on the road. Was in conjunction with PFN then. And I remember when we arrived, there was no money for anything. And I said, you people just do whatever you can do. There were not many people. There were less than, I'm not sure there were up to 50 people in that crusade ground. We had fasted weeks before, prepared, only to come and find over 50 people. And at that time, when you call for the sick, you go to villages like that, almost everybody is sick. You call for the sick and everybody came to line up. It's not now that you pray and someone is healed, then they is used for personalities. He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. 25, look up please. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the wind. According to their orientation, they thought winds are just geographic phenomena. And Jesus was telling them, in this instance, they were spirits that you did not see. These spirits were the ones who were launching attack. Next verse. Now you will understand. The Bible says they arrived where? The country of the Gadarenes, which was over against Galilee. 27. As soon as they arrived the city, the first person they met at the base of the city was a madman. Who told the madman Jesus was coming? It was not the governor to receive him. It was not a protocol. A madman was there in the cave, hosting the spirits that controlled that city. And on seeing Jesus coming, the spirits came and manifested as wind. Jesus saw them and said, be still. We are still going forward. Watch this. Are you seeing that this was the purpose of that storm? The storm had nothing to do with the journey. The legion that were in that man had received signal. A savior is coming. Salvation is coming to this land. And so let's create all kinds of trouble. After every storm, usually it's an explanation of why the storm came. You don't know the explanation in the midst of the storm. It is when God raises your son, you now say, so this is why I almost lost this child. This is the reason why this child seemed to have had a problem. So it was because I was raising a prophet without knowing. He went forth to the land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils. How long? Long time. And wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in tombs. Do you know this man we are seeing was the evangelist with the anointing over that city? Satan did not just attack anybody. He looked for the person with the future of the evangelist. That was the person who 10 cities were in his destiny for salvation. And the spirit sat round gatherings, and they selected the person that would have the destiny of saving that land. Jesus went there not only to save the land, but to deliver the evangelist who would bring 10 cities. You see that you think you are just reading a story, but everything adds to everything. It first started with a desire to go forward. Then a storm arose without explanation. Then we finally arrive, and here is a man with a legion. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, thou Jesus, Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. We're reading. Go ahead. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. He says, what is your name? And he said, legion, because we are many devils, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were a herd of swine. Hold on. Do you know these were the spirits that controlled the economy of the state? The economy of this region was in fraternity with those spirits. The moment the spirits left, the economy went down immediately, because the economy was empowered by those spirits. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. If you do not understand the warfare dimension of living, you will never truly enlarge and advance. Your church will never grow. There will be no control. The controlling powers will subdue you. In the days of Daniel, because one man called upon the name of the Lord and was indeed a faithful witness, the spirits that controlled Medo-Persia at that time, the spirits of the Medes and the Persians, that same spirit came through. Thank you. Sorry again. The spirit came through the house of assembly to pass a law. What was the law? They did not say the law was against Daniel. They said, O king, for the next 30 days, let no man call upon any other god except you. You would think it was just a law targeted at honoring the king. But behind that law were spirits that were fighting only one man. 30 days without prayer. That's all Satan needs. And he can wreak havoc within a territory. Are you learning?
So Jesus started the journey to advancement, and he met a storm of wind made of spirits and physical circumstances. Overcoming the storm, he finally got to the other side, and he found out that the first person he met was the person with the destiny of the salvation of that territory. The Bible says Jesus casted out those devils from him, they cleaned him up, and later they found the man seated in his right mind. That man single-handedly went and brought a Decapolis, 10 cities. 10 cities. If Jesus had said, this storm is too much, let's go back, that man's destiny would never open up. Do you know that every time you press to enlarge, the salvation of someone's destiny is tied to your obedience? For every time you delay your advancement, you are not the only one who suffers. There are many destinies tied. Imagine if Bishop, for instance, did not answer the call of God. The woman, he said, who now has a child that is grown, would never have the opportunity to have that miracle. Obedience is powerful, because obedience is like a womb that births the lifting of others, the rising of others, the excelling of others, the healing of others. The refusal for enlargement is more than just a personal ambition. You are stopping the glory of God from finding expression in the life of others. The warfare dimension. If you do not understand spiritual warfare, you may never make progress. Let me give you one scripture and then we'll pray this morning. Is God speaking to you? First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Show us the ancient path. Would you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the ways of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. It says, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, I desire to expand to reach your region. It's not that I just want to remain here. I also want to reach Mubi. I also want to reach Newman. I also want to reach, mention your cities. Come on, you know your cities. Don't forget. Mention them prophetically. Because after this conference, the Lord is expanding his glory to those regions. Wherefore, the power of God desired to go that far. But Satan hindered us. You thought it was lack of budget. You thought lack of space. You thought it was lack of land. You thought it was lack of a pastoral team. You thought it was lack of members. But from the realm of the spirit, we are seeing that behind all these things, there is a movie director, Satan himself, hindering men. I thought the reason why I didn't get the job is just because I'm not a resident of this land. I desire to come to you once and again. That means I tried, I made efforts, but Satan hindered us. Do you know how many people's destinies have been resisted by the powers of darkness? Many people today, like the madman in Gadara, who knows how many prophets are supposed to have arisen from this city? Who knows how many apostolic voices are supposed to have risen in this city? Who knows how many people? But Satan is able to hinder men. But I came this morning to let you know that there is true victory in Christ. The reason why we understand and we understudy warfare is so that we can have the spiritual intelligence to ward off these arsenals of darkness and to be able to make progress. Dominion is the ability to make progress in spite of the existence of evil. Are we together now? Yes. The primary tool, listen carefully, the primary tool for victory over demons, you have to listen to this. The primary tool for victory over demons. The primary tool for victory over demons. Listen carefully. There are three major tools, let me put it that way, that provide for victory over demons and the cohorts of darkness. Number one is the blood of the Lamb. What is the mystery of the blood? The blood is the legitimate system that is able to break the legal access that Satan has over lives and destinies. There are spirits that operate illegally, but there are certain people in a level of captivity called lawful captives. Lawful captives means there is a legitimate ground. Look up, please. We'll soon be praying. Am I wasting your time? You have to learn this, because many of you, this is what has trapped you. Let's assume that this is my assembly, this is my building, this is my facility, and a thief tries to come through the door thinking there was nobody. How many of you know that if the thief hears a sign of a footstep, he will run away because he came here illegally? Now, but let's assume that someone lies to that individual and tells him this facility is my own and sells it to him, and that person pays. If he's coming and he hears footstep, will he run away? He paid for it. That's what it means to be a lawful captive. There is no, it's not everybody who say, in Jesus' name, go. No, they are there legally. They were called into that fraternity. It is for those kinds that you overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. Many people do not understand the dynamics of warfare. No. There are legitimate operations. Listen, as powerful as God is, he did not cast sin out of man. Couldn't he just say, I am God, I forgive you, that's all? No. There is a legal side of the realm of the spirit. He had to come and use blood as the receipt to purchase us. For without the shedding of blood, the Bible declares, listen carefully, there is no remission of sin. There are many pastors who do not know these sincere, loving people. They love Jesus with all their hearts, but they are still under the yokes of bondage. And others just throw it away and say, don't worry, everything is gone, everything is all right. But you are still seeing the same patterns. Mother could not give birth. Don't be sad, I'm just opening your eyes to something. The daughter could not give birth. Or a family where all the men are women in that family and the women are men. It's the women that take care of the men. You are saying, it does not matter, I am free. But you are seeing the patterns there. If you are free, it must show that you are free. There are families that rise just when they are about to settle on their success. They go down. Hear me. I submit to you that there is a warfare dimension to victory in the spirit. There is. You engage the blood. You engage the word. You engage the name. And all these three platforms are engaged in prayer. This is why prayer is important. I wanted to say the primary tool, destinies of men. Every pastor, every leader, every businessman, every politician, you are immersed within a territory that has controlling spirits. These spirits have not allowed people to rise except in fraternity with them. Now, if you come in the name of the Lord, and you say, I will not bow to these demons, but I will still rise. My church will still thrive serving the purposes of God. You have drawn the line of battle. Can you just pray in the spirit in 1 minute whilst you are seated? Because it's time for us to advance. I now see the cause of the troubles around my life. I now see the reason why God has called me to be a kingdom financier. But it seems like doors never open. Someone is praying. There is the warfare dimension of our walk of faith. You came for this session this morning to be edified. Pastors, I give you an explanation as to why it looks like that work is under attack. It's not because you are not called. You are genuinely called. Genuinely called of God. Go ahead, whilst you are seated, pray in the spirit. You are praying for yourself. You are praying for your family. Now I see the reason why I continue from the day I answered the call of God. Mysterious quarrels between me and my wife. Mysterious quarrels between me and family members. There arose a storm of wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Please listen to me. Listen to me, believers. The first assignment before you start anything in the physical realm, whether it is ministry, whether it is business, the protocol is that you must first settle spiritual realities in the realm of the spirit. When you are about to start a business, the first key is not capital and your products. You will waste your time for nothing. If that business is just a natural, normal business, that's fine. But in that business, if there is a covenant that lifts up the name of Christ, the devil is interested in it. So the first key is not just to get a shop. Hear me, young people. It's not just to pick up your certificate and to roam around and drop it in offices. No. You have to carry that certificate and place something on it. If the only thing you give is a certificate, you may get a job that will frustrate you. Warfare. I'm about to start ministry. The first key is not to look for members and protocol and choir director. No. It's like a spiritual register you are signing in the realm of the spirit. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You have to put your name in that register. Are we together? You are beginning a journey. Business, politicians. You are about to start. God has given you the grace for politics. Don't just sit down and say, oh, I know. I need to win chairmanship or governorship or whatever. Leave that one. You have to settle in the realm of the spirit. Before Jesus began ministry, as soon as the Holy Ghost came upon him, you thought he would run and start crusades. He knew. He ran to the wilderness. Do you know that while he was in the wilderness, Satan left everywhere on earth and was patiently waiting in the wilderness? Sometimes your prayer and fasting does not drive Satan, it brings him. Satan came as soon as they went to the other side. The first person they met was the madman in Gadara. As soon as Jesus was done praying and fasting, the first person he met was Satan. He said, Jesus, I already know where you are going. Let me save you the stress of going through 3 years through the cross. Let's negotiate. I will give you this. I got the power from Adam. I can give you. And he said, it is written. Number one, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He took him to a holy mountain and said, just bow to me or fall down. The angels will protect you. He overcame him. The third temptation, you see, was to show him the glories of the world. He took him to a mountain where he saw the political leaders, the economic people, and he said, these are all my boys. I am the principal godfather within this territory. Let's negotiate and I will give you influence over them. And from the time Jesus refused that negotiation, Satan began to use every system to fight him. The religious system, the economic system. He was preaching and tax collectors came to embarrass him. You claim you're a man of righteousness and you are not doing your due diligence. And he said, I already have victory over you. Go and catch the fish. open the mouth, pick Caesar's coin, give to him. The economy was fighting him, but it was not the economy. It was Satan saying, you tried me, now you will see. They brought a woman caught in adultery and they wanted to put him in trouble, so that they would trap him and say, you did not honor the other prophet, you are a fake prophet yourself. And he wrote and demonstrated wisdom from heaven. He who has no sin should cast the first stone. They were pricked from the oldest to the youngest. He fed 5,000 people. He kept them for 3 days. The news would have carried it. What a wicked, heartless man. He calls himself love. And he kept people for 3 days teaching them and not minding their welfare. And yet you are insulting the government that they are not taking care of the people. And he said, I know what they will say. Bring me 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he fed all of them. And closed the mouth of the political people and the media that would have used his crusade as an indictment. If you don't settle from the realm of the spirit, you will be frustrated whether in life or in ministry. Can I tell you this? There are many gifted people within this city. There are many anointed people within the body of Christ. The reason why their voices do not find visibility, they do not know. There are contending powers that have vowed to make sure they do not rise. Let me show you one scripture and we'll pray. Can I do that? Zechariah chapter 1, please, and verse 18. Zechariah 1 verse 18. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 18. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 18. Please help us, media. 1 and verse 18, Zechariah. Let's read together as projected. Ready? 1 to read. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, what did he see? A horn is a symbol of authority. Next verse, please. 19 now. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me. He said, these are the authorities that have taken away my praise, taken away my promise, taken away my peace. Now listen, Judah talks of praise. Israel talks of covenant. Jerusalem talks of peace. There are spirits that took these things away from my life. No praise, no testimonies. The promises of God concerning my life keep being aborted. And my peace taken away by horns. Not a job, by horns. Government, by horns. Not family. It looks like it is the family taking away your peace. But there are horns. Next verse, please. Verse 20. And the Lord showed me 4 carpenters. Hallelujah. Do you know one thing with a carpenter? No matter how spoiled the wood is, a carpenter can do something about it. You bring wood, bring something, and a carpenter can look and say, you know what? We'll remove this. These nails are rusted. We can replace. He showed me 4 carpenters. Every one carpenter to match the horns that fights the people. Still talking about the horns. 21. What come these horns to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns that have scattered Judah. What is the assignment? So that no man did lift up his head. Ah. But thou, O Lord, had a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. The horns. Please give us the scripture. We are going to pray now. So that no man in Adamawa State, so that no man from Mubi, from Newman, from what's the name of those places again? Michika. I know some of the places, so I know it because I ate Murichi there. Oh, yes. And by the way, I must eat that thing before I leave this land, though. Is it a deal? Now watch this. Please give us that scripture. It says, but these carpenters have come to fray them. The word fray means to terrorize. No matter how mad a man is, he does not enter fire by mistake. He can play around with you, but when he sees that fire, he makes his angels winds and his ministers flames of fire. These have come to terrorize them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles. That's why God sent us here, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Please rise up on your feet. The horns that have scattered ministries, the horns that have brought fight and quarrel and jealousy and bitterness between men of God. It's not about church fighting church. There are spirits fighting the body of Christ. The horns that have stopped financial resources from coming to enable enlargement. The horns that have stopped the good works and the goodwill of people to be seen. Lift up your voice in 1 minute. We have a few minutes, but I want you to engage praying in the spirit with understanding this morning. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Embrantes lekete braski di balahasia. Embaradasha da brakatosa de beleketia. You are praying. Place the work God has given you in front of you as you pray. Place the family God has given you in front of you and pray. It is a demonstration of faith in God to pray. The Bible says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest it and thou shalt have it. Enough is enough. In the name of Jesus, enough of shame and reproach, enough of limitations and retrogression. Parakatoska leprende ketele katusatia, ekrotoska debrakatosha lekete prende gede balakat. Shaparakata bakate prende ketele kete brondosko to prende kete. Pray, it's time for your ministry to experience enlargement, breaking forth on the left and on the right. Time for your finances to answer. Time for your business to rise. Time for the gift of God that is upon your life to find expression to the nations. Don't be tired. There are students here. It's time for your campus to receive a fresh fire for God. I lift my hands to you. You're the awesome God. I lift my hands to you. Awesome God. Awesome God. I lift my voice to you. Keep praying. You're the awesome God. I lift my voice to you. Awesome God. I lift my head. Listen, we're praying. Pay attention and be serious. We're praying. Can I tell you this? Many years ago, I was praying one night. Help that woman under the anointing. Just help them, please. The Lord is doing great things here already. Now, listen, please. I was praying. I stand before the God of heaven and I lie not. There was a generator house. Every night I would go to pray close to it. And one night, I got to the place of the generator and I was just going to walk around. And as soon as I turned, there was standing a demon spirit right before me. And he said, "Get back." And I said, "What is this?" In my entire life, I did not know that men could see spirits that control people. Next thing, I began to pray in tongues. A few years later, I was praying and trusting God to bring increase and expansion and help with the resources that will make the work of the ministry work. Listen to me. I was praying from a room and all of a sudden my eyes were open and the zinc disappeared. And I saw this spirit that looked like a dinosaur. Big eyes. One of the eyes alone was as big as a human head. And the tail had its own life. You could detach the tail and it would still be alive. And he was looking at me with fierce anger. And he said, "So you think you can bring God's people into abundance?" From that day, the heavens opened in a strange way. I think it was Bishop David Oyedepo who said, initially when they started the ministry, the work was not growing. And one time they called for a fast and they began to pray. Can I tell you this? There is a serpent in the wood, but it's fire that exposes it. Until you generate a level of fire, the viper that is hiding in your ministry, hiding in your family, may never be released. The viper was there. When they were cutting the wood, it was there. But there was no sufficient fire to expose it. Help them, please. Please, I know we came here and I don't mean to stay to waste our time. But can I tell you, the next few minutes we are going to pray. We cannot do a conference like this and not pray. It's called upper room. What happened in the upper room? Talk to me. What happened in the upper room? Every spirit that has stood to resist my advancement, you come under judgment now. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Engage prayer with understanding. Are there priests in this land? Are there men of capacity and prayer? Enough is enough. We decree and declare. Make it a break it all, says Yakata. Pray. Every spirit masquerading as conflict, masquerading as poor or inefficient membership, masquerading as lack of resources, lack of help. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you, every unclean spirit. The Lord rebuke you. Karos katebren tekelekatia, eketoshoto brekate, kebrekate katebrekate katebeti. Shobrondo goto brekate brekatia, shakate brekate belekatia. Ebro koto koto brekate brekate. Shonomono koto brehit. And look at the bracket, look at the bracket, the bracket. The Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. It's time to enlarge, it's time to advance spiritually. Greater fire, greater unction, greater anointing, access to higher and superior levels of revelation. Pastors, pray. It's time to expand. It's time to expand. There are still souls to be saved. There are still destinies to be transformed. It's time to leave where you are to the next phase. Prayer groups, it's time to expand. Prayer ministries, it's time to expand. Intercessors, the prophetic intercessors over this ministry, over this region, it's time to enlarge. Ela pekata katopra kotosh, ekra kata pekato bros kotoparusia, skada mena kata bros kote, ela skada benta skata bros kotoparusia, shakata brondos kodo brekata lekate bach. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, while still praying. Just help those under the anointing. My God, things are shifting in this place. We are able to go out and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be on our way to kingdom, God has surely I am able to go out and take my destiny, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Sing it, Yola. Next prayer point, Isaiah 49 verse 24. Next prayer point, Kalashane kele brandega subra haskia. I tell you, fire is burning in this place. Isaiah 49 24. We'll start our reading from verse 24. Please look up, everyone. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captives be delivered? Is a question. Shall this family that has been under a curse, is there a possibility of their liberation? Shall this family that has 10 children but none has risen? Next verse. Thus saith the Lord. Yola, hear the word of the Lord. Even the captives of the mighty shall be delivered, taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with thee that contended with thee, and I will save your children. 26. I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, I am thy Savior and thy Redeemer. Are you ready to pray? Every legal access that Satan has over my life and my family, by the blood of the eternal covenant, we declare it broken right now. Lift your voice and pray. Every legal access, every legal access, every legal access, please pray. There are legitimate grounds. Every legal access, O Maruda Shono Brodo Godomalako.
legal access. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, can I tell you this? Please look up. Look up. We're wrapping up. Listen, there are many families today that cannot rise because there is a name that Satan is called, the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says he accuses the brethren day and night. The accuser. Why should this family rise when they came to seek help from us? Can I show you one scripture and then we'll pray? Zechariah chapter 3. Give us Zechariah chapter 3, please, from verse 1. Please help us, media. Let's just rush. Zechariah chapter 3. Just help those under the anointing. I see a very serious deliverance happening here. Zechariah chapter 3. Please take it high for me. And he showed me Joshua or Jehoshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Listen carefully. And Satan was standing at his right hand. Joshua is a priest of God. Joshua can mean a family. Joshua can mean a business. Standing before the Lord to receive and to serve in that office of priesthood. But Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This was the same thing Archangel Michael said to Satan when they were fighting over the body of Moses. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked out of fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. So Satan was not lying. He saw Joshua and said, there is something that connects me and him. There is something that connects me and this family. That's why they don't give birth. I'm not here illegally. And he stood before the angel. Verse 4. And he answered him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. Behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Verse 5. And I said, let there be a fair mitre, an ornament upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with the garment. And the angel of the Lord stood by. We're reading 6 now. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, verse 7. If thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my charge, then thou shalt also be judge in my house, and I will give thee places to walk in. Are you seeing that now? So Satan came to say, this family can never rise. And then before the Lord even addressed them, he said, Satan, this is a family affair. The Lord rebuke you. And then he said, it is true what Satan is saying. There is a garment that your family has been wearing. For some of us, it's not even family. It is you yourself and your life. That the accuser of the brethren is having a legal access, legal ground over your life. Why should this man of God rise? Why should this businessman rise? Oh, we went somewhere. It's not exactly a herbalist. It's not this, but something was given to us. And Satan says, you invited me. But there is something called the mercy of God. It's one of the weightier matters of the kingdom. Judgment and mercy and faith. You took all my sin, my guilt, my shame. You look beyond me. You look beyond me. And I'm the one you have shown mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. This will be what you'll be singing over your family. That we are the ones
You have shown mercy. You have shown us mercy.
Oh, I was not there when my father was involved with witchcraft, you may say. But now that God has shown you mercy and taken that filthy garment, if you will walk before him, you will be restored into that order of priesthood. Apostle, I don't know why people don't rise. Women, all the women have failed marriages. They marry men that destroy them and send them back home. Satan has been accusing. But now that filthy garment, I'm saying this because the next prayer we are going to pray is to invoke the mercy of God. The mercy of God upon your family. See, the prayer of mercy is not for sinners. The prayer of mercy is the only legitimate ground upon which the legal access of darkness is broken. Mercy. Are you ready to pray? The accuser of the brethren finds a way to come before, what's that song again? The holy judge of all the earth points at the faults and failings of the saints. Then he makes a case. And then what's the other part again? Nathaniel Bassi. Listen. And then he says, I plead the blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. He calls it the eternal saving blood. Eternal saving blood. Some of you, before you were born again, you were involved in all kinds of devilish things. My father was this, all kinds of diabolic things. Time has no effect in the realm of the spirit. Don't say I did it before. No. Are you ready to plead the blood? Lift your voice in 1 minute. I plead the blood and I declare mercy. Go ahead and pray. Mercy upon my family. Mercy upon my life. Go ahead and pray. We declare the mercy of God upon Adamawa. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turning from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We declare mercy. Go ahead, plead the blood upon your government house. Plead the blood upon every family. Plead the blood upon every church, every accuser of the brethren, accusing membership, accusing men of God and women of God, accusing families and destinies. We silence you by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 Now, please listen. Listen. Our time is up. But I want you to listen to me. Please listen to me. I want you to trust God that in this conference, your prayer life will come back alive again. Because you see, my dear people, an attack on your prayer life is a real attack. It's not about religious fanatism. That is the platform that affords you the opportunity to engage the word of God, the name of Jesus, faith. Mark 11 and 24 says, and what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, receive. Believe that thou receivest it. So prayer is the platform for receiving spiritual things. Hallelujah. Don't pray casually and just, no, not going to get a great destiny that way. You must learn how to hold on to the four horns of the altar and pray and travail until that viper is revealed and exposed. There are many of you, the day you begin to pray, God will start removing people out of your life. It's the effect of the prayer. God will start removing all kinds of things out of your life. For some of you, it's not people that God will reveal. While you pray, you will start seeing that it's your mindset that kept you. Others' habits and traits that need to leave you for the next level. Don't just say people are not coming. You attract what looks like you. Prayer purifies. Prayer refines. Prayer ends. Once you find out that you are dropping from your spiritual altitude, your mind is vacillating in the flesh, it's time to hold on to the four horns of the altar. Don't play games and joke with this faith walk. And whilst you're praying, you will continue to triumph from one level in the spirit even to another. Can I pray for you now?
You are the covenant keeping God. You are the covenant keeping God.
Every door that has refused to open for you to move to the next level, I stand and join faith with our bishop, your father, and the angel over this parish. We speak to those doors and those gates. Ephata, be open now in the name of Jesus Christ. And hear me, everything that has tied you and kept you in the same position, so that you're not able to move and make progress with your life, first spiritually, your relationships, and every other aspect of your life, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God, we decree and declare that those forces come from off your life now. Amen. We'll not speak to the gates of the territories now, we'll do it in the evening. But can I tell you, every city has gates. You can be in that city and yet spiritually you are outside that city. No impact, no relevance. The two lift gates of a city must swing open. Otherwise you can be in a city and yet you are not benefiting from the city. Please help that woman. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, for everyone here who has any uncompleted project, stagnated in one place, doors and resources closed, by the God of heaven, I decree and declare the supplies that make for completion and advancement, let it come upon you now. And I know we're going to be praying for the sick in the evening, but right now already I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every devil in your body eating up your finances in the name of recurrent sicknesses, hear the word of the Lord. It's time for you to leave now. Amen. I pray for every co-laborer in the gospel here, every servant of the Lord Jesus Christ serving in this city and within this territory. I don't know what challenge and what storm of wind has arisen. For others is membership, others finances, others land and space, others your family life, others maybe even your integrity and your life. I stand in faith with you and I pray in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, let there be deliverance for you now. Amen. And for those who are saying, Apostle, I've lost everything through this pandemic. I lost money. Some of you are saying, I lost my spiritual fire. I lost my fervency and my zeal for God. I used to be better than this. But right now, I don't know how my life has gone haywire. I want to give an opportunity. I felt so bad yesterday. I didn't do that in the night because of time. But please spare me 1 minute. There are two groups of people, help them please, that I'm going to call out here. Number one, you are saying, I have come for this conference